Well, good morning. It certainly is good to be with you here, and I just appreciate so much the vote of confidence that you had in me to ask me to come and be the preacher here at Antioch, and I look forward to serving God and growing together as we serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's just so good to see of all of you this morning, and certainly want to thank Brother Jimmy for his 30 years of service here, and we start day one today. I have an advantage that Jimmy doesn't have. I believe I'm a little younger than him, so I can go maybe 35, right? But thank you so much, and I just look forward to serving this church, and I just pray that God will bless us all. This morning, since this is my first sermon, I pray that this sermon really sets the tempo for what I want to be at Antioch and what I hope that this church is and in the future will be for this community. This morning, my sermon is titled simply, Make Me a Servant. I don't know if you've ever heard the song. It's a very simple song that we sung growing up and in our youth devotionals when I was youth minister at Liberty. It, Make Me a Servant, Lord, make me like you. For you are a servant, Lord, make me one too. Make me a servant, do what you must do. To make me a servant, Lord, make me like you. When you really look at the life of Jesus Christ, Jesus was a servant. Jesus' purpose on the earth was to seek and to save the lost. And Jesus says that he did not come to be served, but he came to serve others. And nowhere else in God's word do we see such an act of servanthood as we do in John chapter 13 when Jesus washes his disciples' feet. And this morning, that's the scripture I want us to look at. John chapter 13 and beginning in verse 1. The Bible says that now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he had come from God and was going back to God, the Bible says that he rose from supper and he poured water into a basin and he began to wash his disciples' feet. He began to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that he wrapped around himself. Verse 6 said that Simon Peter said to him, Lord, do not wash my feet. But Jesus answered him and said, what I'm doing you don't understand right now, but afterwards you will understand. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him and said, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. So Simon Peter said, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, the one who is bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but he is completely clean, and you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, not all of you are clean. When he'd washed their feet and put on his outer garments, he resumed his place and he said to them, do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right. So I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should also done as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is the messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. If you do them. I don't know about you, but this is a very powerful passage of Scripture to me, and we're going to hit some of the highlights in it this morning. But Jesus washing his disciples' feet really just shows the kind of servant's heart that Jesus had. Jesus loves his disciples and he wants to go above and beyond the call of duty. And he wants to give them an example of how they ought to treat other people. Now, from a historical perspective, the servant who washed the people's feet was one of the lowest servants in the master's house. Historically speaking, when a master were to throw a banquet or a dinner, it was customary. The host was expected to have a servant there to wash the people's feet who came into that banquet and dinner. There's a lot of reasons for doing this other than it just being customary. Back in this time, of course, people were just going out and about, and with the dirt on the street, things that we don't think about, their feet were just dirty. Also, you read time and time again in the Bible that they were reclining at the table. A lot of times we think of people sitting around a table, but that wasn't how they did it in the ancient world. Many times they would lay around a table and they could grab food, and you'd have someone laying right here where you could talk to them, and then right across from you was laying someone you could see their feet. So it was an issue of cleanliness. It was an issue of making it comfortable for everybody at the party, at the banquet, because very likely you're going to be laying close to someone's feet and you didn't want that smelly thing contaminating your food. So it was very customary and it was very cleanly for the host to provide this servant, this service to his guest. And when there was no one at this particular feast to wash the disciples' feet, Jesus, the Lord, the Master, the Teacher, the God of the universe, gets up and he takes a basin and a towel and he begins to serve. I want you to think about that for just a moment. Because, church, that is powerful. That the person who spoke this all into existence, John would say earlier in his gospel that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he goes on to say that everything that came into being came through him. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In other words, Jesus is the one who's responsible for creation. The one who brought all of this into being is literally sitting there, and when there's no one to wash the feet, when there's no one to serve, the Creator gets up and he serves the created. And by doing this, Jesus is saying that there is no job that I'm too good for. There's nothing that is too low for Jesus. He takes the towel, the water, and he begins to wash the disciples' feet. And what an example for us today as his church. As we are the hands and feet of Jesus today, as we are his representation to the world. What an example he's left for us. Because there is no job that's too low for us. We ought to be able and willing to do whatever it takes to show his love to the world, to declare his greatness and his goodness to the people we come in contact with each and every single day. Jesus takes the water and the towel and he begins to wash the disciples' feet, but not all the disciples were happy about this. In fact, the man who you see time and time again in your Bible who speaks out of turn or who opens his mouth and puts his foot, he gets in trouble. Simon Peter says, "Jesus, you're not going to wash my feet." And Peter completely misses the point when Jesus says, "No, Peter, you don't understand. I've got to wash your feet." Peter goes to the other extreme and says, "Well, God, or Jesus, if you're going to wash my feet, don't just stop at that. Give me a complete bath." Peter doesn't understand what Jesus is doing here. Jesus is setting an example of service, and Peter doesn't want to be served. Have you ever been like that? I'll be the first to admit it's difficult to be served. It's difficult. My wife, bless her heart, she just had a C-section. And let me tell you what. When the doctor said that she couldn't pick up anything heavier than the baby for 4 weeks, I was scared to death. And I want to tell you right now, gentlemen, we don't appreciate our wives near as much as we should. Because I was working and I was coming home and doing the housework and doing the laundry and unloading the dishwasher. That's tough work. And that's just something that we take for granted. But good old Candace, she hated it. The very fact that she knew she couldn't do it and she had to depend on me, that was tough. And I believe God was opening her eyes during that time. And I think Peter has that same syndrome right here. Peter realizes who Jesus is. Okay? Peter realizes that Jesus is God in the flesh. And Peter realizes how great and good Jesus is. And Jesus, there ain't no way you're washing my feet. Peter had that syndrome of serve others, but don't serve me. I can help myself. And a lot of times we're like that. And church, that's the great thing about the gospel. Because the message is, you can't help yourself. The message is, when you try to help yourself, you just find out how terrible you are. You just find out how dependent on someone else, how dependent on God you really are. And Jesus is here setting an example that we should follow, an example of loving others more than we love ourselves and serving others and doing things that other people are not willing to do. Folks, there were a lot of people at this banquet. At least Jesus and his 12 disciples, any one of them could have gotten up, could have taken the towel and the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. But only Jesus, the Master, did. And many times we have opportunity after opportunity, but we're just like the disciples. We want to sit back and take it easy. And we're unwilling to get up and do the job that no one else wants to do. And that's exactly what Jesus did. But for just a minute, I want you to think about something. Here's Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who is going to die, who is going to conquer death, who's going to defeat Satan. The one who's going to rise from the grave on the third day. The one who's going to be exalted and lifted up. Here's Jesus, the King of Kings, washing the disciples' feet. And he comes to Judas. He comes to Judas Iscariot. And from the interaction that he has with Peter, Jesus knows exactly who Judas is. Jesus knows what Judas intends to do that very night. Jesus knows that Judas is going to sell him out for silver. Jesus knows this about Judas, but you know what he does? He serves him. Knowing Judas's intention, knowing Judas's heart, knowing that it was made up and he was going to sell him out to the Pharisees and the Jews, Jesus washed Judas's feet anyway. Church, that's service. That's love that is blind. That's service that doesn't care who you are or what you're going to do. Jesus washed Judas's feet the night that Judas betrayed him. And in washing his feet, Jesus was showing his love, his compassion. And washing his feet was really a plea for Judas to change his mind. But Judas wouldn't have any part of it. The message this morning is that Jesus' example ought to be an inspiration to us as Christians. Look back at verse 14. Jesus looks at his disciples, and if he were here today, he would look at us and he would say, "You ought to wash one another's feet." And what he means here by washing one another's feet isn't that we should go around and wash every person's foot in this building. Jesus is saying, you ought to serve others. And church, that's what I pray will be my tenure here. And that's what I pray this church will be about. That we serve others. If you look at Jesus' life, really his whole life was about service. Jesus could have very easily hung out with the in crowd. He could have hung out with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But instead, you see Jesus associating himself with the unsavories. He's hanging out with prostitutes and tax collectors and people who are considered outcasts of society. Jesus serves others when he sees them in pain or he sees them hurting. He heals the sick. Jesus serves others when he reaches out and he touches people who other people would have steered clear of. He touches the lepers. He touches the untouchables. Jesus serves humanity. Jesus served men when he was out preaching to them and they become hungry. And he feeds the multitudes. Jesus' whole life was about serving others and putting others above himself. And as the church, that ought to be our mentality as well. Just as Jesus served others, we ought to serve others, and no doubt the opportunities abound. You don't have to go very far to find someone that just needs encouragement. You don't have to go very far to find someone who needs a visit, a call, or a card. Maybe someone that just needs somebody to sit down and they don't even have to say anything. They just need someone to listen. Church, there are people that are around us in this very church that need those things. We ought to wash one another's feet. We ought to make sure that the body of Christ is built up, that it's encouraged, that we're all firing on all cylinders, that we're all giving devotion and worship to God. But church, not only should we wash one another's feet, we ought to also wash the feet of the people who are outside. Jesus spent a lot of time with his disciples. He spent that time grooming them and getting them ready for the fact that he was going to be gone from this earth. But Jesus also spent a lot of time with people who didn't know about him. A lot of times people who didn't care about him. Jesus made time to be with others. And as Jesus was leaving this earth, he left us these marching orders: go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We as the church ought to be a church of action. We ought to be a church that is going. We are the hands and the feet of Jesus. We are his representation. our lives are the way that people see that God still makes a difference in the world today. It's been said many times that there are five Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the Christian. And the fact is, most never read the first four. Our lives are epistles, the Apostle Paul says. Our lives are examples. And people, when they see us, they ought to see Jesus living in us. They ought to see people that are motivated to do the right thing, no matter the consequences. They ought to see people who love others more than they love themselves and who serve others, who go above and beyond the call of duty. Because when you look at the life of Jesus, that's exactly what you see. You see a man who deserves all the honor and the glory in the world, but yet it's not too much for him to pick up a towel and a basin and wash his own disciples' feet. It's been said before that people don't know how much, they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And church, that's so true. And I pray that as we live in this community, as we come in contact with others, as we are the light of the world, I pray that we'll all make it our daily goal to be a servant, to serve someone else, and to show them how much God loves them, how much He cares about them, and how He would send His only begotten Son to this earth to suffer, to bleed, and to die so they could have hope. If you're in any way subject to heaven's invitation, won't you come while together we stand and sing?